If you have been with us over the past number of months, you'll know how we have been journeying through Luke's Jesus story. For much of the time, Luke was Jesus was out in the hinterland, out in the Galilee, speaking to the crowds of people. In the last little while, though, we have been getting a sense of Jesus getting closer to Jerusalem. In the last couple of weeks, we've had readings where we had Jesus closer to Jerusalem, and we had a lot of interaction between Jesus and some of the religious people of the day. We got a sense of increasing tension between Jesus and those religious leaders. While crowds of people often would have been found gathering around Jesus, as far as many of the religious leaders were concerned, Jesus was associating with the wrong kind of people. Criticism was high because Jesus was hanging out with tax collectors, with sinners, with outcasts. And if you're with us a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember Jesus' response to the religious leaders as we reflected on the first two of three well-known parables, the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you'll remember Jesus' response to the as Jesus spoke those shared those parables, and as we reflected on those parables, those first two, we were reminded that while people often think that those parables, the lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, were about the lost being found, we were reminded that Jesus wasn't speaking to those who were lost, but in fact he was speaking to the religious leaders of the day, who were quite content to allow those lost to remain being lost. And last week, the criticism of the religious leaders got even more pointed, as Jesus told a parable about a rich man, and he was a man who seemed to exploit the people around him simply so he could get richer and richer every day. And we were reminded of the linkage between many of the religious leaders and the rich. For many of them, they were pretty well one and the same. Well, today we come to the fifth in our series of parables. And just like in last week's reading, Jesus begins the parable this week by saying, there was a rich man. I'd like to spend some time with this parable today as we continue to listen for Jesus' voice to us, Jesus' words to us. And as we do that, I want to title the sermon today, Called to Make Eye Contact. So let's get into our passage today. Today's passage began like this. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, I think it could be helpful for us to touch on some contextual things and maybe some things that perhaps catch our attention as we begin to look at our passage today. The first thing I think we need to be aware of has to do with context. And it has to do with some of the attitudes that many people had back in those days when it came to those who had a lot of money. I've mentioned it before in sermons, but I don't think there's any harm in repeating it. there was an attitude that people had that if you had money, then you were blessed by God. You were believed to be one of the righteous people of the day, that God was rewarding you for your righteousness, that God was looking upon you favorably. There was even an attitude that the rich deserved their riches. People thought that not only were the rich righteous, but they were industrious. They worked hard for their money. They deserved every penny of it. And not surprisingly, that understanding was held particularly by those who had the money. And many people took an opposite view when it came to those who were poor. The poor were considered unrighteous. The poor were considered lazy. They were looked down upon by the people around them. The rich ones, they were the ones who were noticed. The poorer ones were often very easily missed. Yet I think it's important for us to notice here who it is who's named in our parable today. Often the characters in parables are nameless. Jesus doesn't always identify any name with characters in parables. But this time it's different. One is given a name, but it's not the rich man. It's the poor man, Lazarus. He's the one who's named in our story today. And maybe it's significant that the name he's been given is Lazarus, which means God helps. Now, some other contextual things that might be helpful. Despite the fact that the rich were often considered to be people who were blessed by God, the poor were still to be cared for. According to Jewish law, widows, orphans, the poor, they were to be looked out for and cared for by others. The expectation was that those who had the means were to give to the poor. Give food, give clothing, give money. It was part of people's responsibility, part of their duty to the people around them. And another thing to be aware of is that often outside homes of the rich, there would often be a bench. Now, I'm not sure whether the original intention of the bench wasn't merely so that passers-by could sit and admire the magnificent homes. But what often those benches became would be a place where the poor would come and sit in the hope that the rich people inside the houses might see them in front of their house and might give to them because they're in need. Now, sometimes the poor would make their own way to these homes. Sometimes they would be brought by loved ones, other members of the family, if they couldn't get there themselves. And the sense we get from our passage today is perhaps that latter is what happened. That because the passage, although the passage doesn't mention there's a bench there, there is a gate outside the house, and we're told in our passage today that Lazarus was laid by the gate of the rich man's house. Doesn't say he lay there himself, but that he was laid there. So the sense we get is that some family members, or somebody at least, came and brought Lazarus outside the house of the rich man. People probably knew that this rich man had the means, and so they thought, what better place to put Lazarus so that the rich man could reach out. And you know, often the poor would benefit on days when there was real luxury that was going on. Often on those days, the rich people would have people over for a meal, And a lot of money would be spent on food and drink, and often the poor would have that interaction of people coming, and the rich would often come outside the house to give to the poor. And I think it's interesting that often on such days, the rich, they became particularly aware of the poor. And I mean, the sense I get is that probably the rich people, they wanted to look good in front of the guests that are coming. And so they want to impress their peers. And so what better time than when they're having a party and there's somebody poor outside? Why not? Well, the people are arriving. Go outside, give to the poor, and you can impress all your friends you've got coming over for dinner. What better thing to hear from your peers directed towards you? Wow, aren't you such a generous person? But the thing is, the sense we get from our parable is the rich man from our story did nothing like that. It wasn't that he only reached out when there were other rich people around. You know, that he only reached out when he knew that he could catch other people's attention. No, the sense we get is that he didn't reach out at all. Despite the fact that this man lived in luxury every day, and perhaps he even hosted parties at his home on most days to accentuate that luxury, the sense we get is that Lazarus received nothing at all. And it's not like Lazarus is asking for all that much. Didn't it say in the passage that he just longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table? But the gate was closed. The sense we get is that day after day after day, the gate was closed. There was separation between that which was going on inside the house and Lazarus who lay on the ground on the outside. And all that Lazarus received was the lick of the dogs who occasionally passed by. As the parable then goes on, we hear that the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and he was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. Now, I just want to make it clear here. This isn't a parable about heaven and hell. If you want to picture hell as being some place of absolute torment, it doesn't make any difference to me. But that's not the focus here. Nor is this parable about karma, that you get what you deserve. Scripture makes it very clear that that the gospel is one of grace. We don't always get what we deserve, and thank God we don't. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And in chapter 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death." The parable isn't about getting what we deserve. Now, I think what Jesus was getting at is that he's sharing the parable with the people that the way we treat the poor, the way we treat those who are down on their luck, the way we treat those who are struggling, says something about our relationship with God. As we create separation between ourselves and others, so do we create separation between ourselves and God. Now, I realize that people could easily try to come to the defense of this rich man. People could look for perfectly valid reasons why this rich man didn't help out poor Lazarus. And one such explanation could be that, well, the rich man, maybe he didn't even know that Lazarus was there. I mean, it's possible that the rich man never ventured outside. Maybe he just sent servants back and forth and they did his work for him. It's possible that he just kept himself inside the house day after day. Or maybe he went out a different door, didn't go out the front, went out the back way as he was going into town. Perhaps he never went past that front gate. And perhaps he never actually saw Lazarus or was aware of him. I kind of feel like I'm trying to grab at straws here to try and some kind of find some valid excuse for the rich man. But you know what? I don't really think it makes all that much difference whether the neglect was deliberate or not. I'm not so sure there's ever a valid excuse. If the rich man knew about Lazarus, then that says something. If the rich man didn't know about Lazarus, I think it also says something, because clearly he wasn't paying attention. He was so wrapped up in himself that he failed to see needs that were around him. You know what I think was going on? I actually think the rich man did know about Lazarus. He knew full well what was going on. He knew full well the need that Lazarus had. But I wonder whether he might have tried to convince himself that he bore no responsibility for the well-being of poor Lazarus. And he did that by pretending not to see. I think the rich man likely passed by the front gate many, many times. He could have even done that on a daily basis. But every time he passed by the gate, every time he got close to Lazarus, he simply looked away. He pretended not to notice him. I think he figured that as long as I don't make eye contact, then that poor man won't even know that I've seen him. And I can just get on with my day. I think he figured, as long as the poor man doesn't notice me notice him, I'm off scot-free. Nobody can accuse me of not caring. Nobody can say I'm not fulfilling my responsibility. If I don't see them, then I'm under no obligation. I will just look the other way. You know, as we look at our reading, I think the indication is that the rich man actually was fully aware of Lazarus. Because notice the rich man's conversation with Father Abraham after both Lazarus and the rich man had died. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." What we notice in those verses, it's not just Jesus who mentions Lazarus's name in the context of him narrating this parable. No, the rich man actually knows Lazarus's name. He recognizes him. Lazarus isn't a stranger. The rich man knows who he is. Despite the fact that he may never have made eye contact with Lazarus, Lazarus isn't somebody with whom he's unfamiliar. And isn't it striking that even in the afterlife, the rich man wants to treat Lazarus as nothing more than one who might serve him? Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water to cool my tongue, because I'm in agony. Even in the afterlife, The rich man isn't willing to make eye contact. Instead, he focuses on Father Abraham and asks him to make Lazarus come to his aid. Well, Abraham, he talks about there being a chasm between the rich man and Lazarus, a chasm that separates. And Abraham says that this chasm is one that can't be bridged. The separation is ongoing. And I believe that's the case because the chasm is one of the rich man's own making. He created that separation on earth. He wasn't willing to enter into relationship. And so that separation was going to be ongoing. And it all started because that rich man was unwilling to make eye contact. You know, I want to tell you, I know how easy it is to look the other way. I wouldn't be surprised if there have been times for you where you've seen somebody in need and you've looked the other way. I know there's been times when I've done that. There's been times when I've seen people in need and I have just pretended that I haven't seen them. And I've made sure that I didn't look in their eyes. Made sure that they couldn't think that we made eye contact. So I could just get on with my day. You know, there have been times when people have been begging on the street, and I've seen them from a distance, but when I've gotten close, I've looked in the other direction, thinking, just making it look as though I've noticed something else, so I just don't have to look directly at them. I can imagine how that must feel pretty discouraging, pretty dehumanizing for the people at the other end. Some of you know that every morning I go for a walk for about an hour, and often on my walks I pass people as I'm walking, and I'm quite open to making just eye contact with them, and then we'll do a nod or a say hello, and we just go carry on our way. We don't say anything more to each other, but we have acknowledged each other being there. Although there's times when I'm walking along, and sometimes, and it's often the same people, but they refuse to look at me. And it feels strange. Feels like I haven't been noticed. Feels like perhaps they just don't really care. I can imagine. Well, Maybe I really can't fully imagine what it must feel like to be one of the somebody who's living on the margins of society today as they get that day after day after day from so many people. Do we really believe that we're absolved of responsibility simply because we try to make it look as though we haven't seen them? The rich man in our story might have tried to make it look as though he hadn't seen, but whether or not he had seen didn't really matter. Based upon his resources, he bore responsibility. He was a rich man. And you know, maybe that's all it'll take to make us feel better, because the fact that the story is talking about a rich man who lived in luxury. Not sure there's many of us here today or people who are watching this sermon via our live stream who would consider yourselves in the same kind, with the same kind of means as the man in our story today. Sure, we might do all right, but I'm not rich. There are far more people who are richer than I am. And so we're very quick to assume that the passage is far more applicable to those people who are really, really rich. Well, it is directed at them, but equally is it directed at regular people like you and me. We may not think we're rich, but try telling that to the 95 to 99% of the world's population as they compare what they have to what we have. I looked online the other day that even a salary of $40,000 is that's more than 95% of the world's population, what they make. A wage of $70,000 is more than 99% of the world's population. Sure, we can find other people who are richer than we are, but in the grand scheme of things, we are rich. And there are many, many people who are struggling to survive. And Jesus is speaking to you and to me. There may be people who are thinking, but Stephen, you just don't understand. Not everybody can respond to people in need. You got to keep in mind that for some people, there are risks involved when you go up to people you don't know. While it may be one thing for me to make eye contact with somebody in need and try to make some kind of response towards them, for some people, going up to a stranger does put them at risk. I think it's important that we not put ourselves in dangerous situations. But even that doesn't absolve us from our responsibilities. As part of our relationship with Jesus, we are called to reach out in some way. Maybe that's through giving to a local shelter in the city, serving at a local charity, so that those who are living on the margins of society are cared for by us collectively. Too many of us leave this to other people. Too many of us kind of walk around with tunnel vision, refusing to make eye contact, acting as though we just don't see society's great needs. Today, Jesus is speaking to you and to me. I want to leave you with some questions. I want to invite you to consider and ponder these questions over the course of the week. First question is this: in what way do you avoid making eye contact so that you won't feel as though you have a responsibility to reach out to those in need? To what extent do you do that? To what extent do you feel as though the term the rich applies to somebody else? And what's Jesus saying to you about that today? Finally, what next step might God be calling you to take so that you might make a difference to those on the margins? As Jesus shared his parable, I believe he was impressing upon those who were listening that with what we have comes responsibility. And one day we're going to be called to account for what we've done with what we've been given. We'll be called to account for how many people we've simply passed by, how many relationships we haven't entered into. The man in our story today was named Lazarus, which means God helps. Well, God does want to help. God wants to help through people who call themselves Jesus followers. Jesus is looking our way, and his longing is that we will make eye contact with him and with those in need. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given to us. Lord, we acknowledge that we don't always use what you've given to us in the way that it's meant to be used. So often we look to focus on ourselves, to meet our needs. So often we look the other way when there are needs around us. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to refocus. Help us to look into the eyes of your Son. See the compassion that he has for those on the margins. And Lord, give us that same compassion. Give us the courage to reach out to those in need around us, that they might come to know your love and your grace. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.